We aren't necessarily a polished crew here, but we're very powerful. I got an image of a battle cruiser from World War II, and they weren't the prettiest things to look at, but gee, I wouldn't want to mess with any of them. And I'm not saying that you're not pretty. Please don't get me wrong. I'm a firm believer of man judges the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And I get excited when I see a bunch of faithful, I'll use one scenario, faithful old ladies in a circle praying, much older than me, I can tell you. I've seen this many times, faithful, the old girls in a circle praying. No, I'm going to tell it how it is. It's they're older women who pray. And they have more power than, some of the younger whippersnappers who unfortunately belong to my generation like to underestimate them to be. Again, have anyone heard of the expression sucking eggs? I feel like sometimes I'm standing up here telling people how to suck eggs, but I hope that there's some value in what I say to you this morning. So how about we start from prayer? Father, we love you and we want to see you manifest in our lives and in the way that we are, in our hearts, in this church, in our families, in this nation, in the nations of the world. We long to see your name lifted high and your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, this morning we thank you that yes, you have forgiven our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we thank you that you do supply all our needs according to your riches in glory. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. Okay, so this morning it's exciting. I really feel like it's intimate this morning, which is a great thing, because we're going to be discussing something very secretive and very exciting. And I've titled my message, The Weapons of the Word. The Weapons of the Word. And we've seen that demonstrated this morning through the prayer and through communion and all sorts of other aspects of our service. We're talking about something that's quite powerful. Where is the source of the believer's power in their lives? Is it just because they believe? Yes, there is a part of that. There's faith. But there's also the solid foundation of the Word of God and the Spirit of God who lives in us. And when those two combine, there's quite the powerful combination. So I'm just going to start out by proclaiming Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, which says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud." We've had an example in the last week. "That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth," that is God. "It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So those words that were spoken in the prayer, they have been sent forth and they will prosper in the things for which it was sent. Be it a healing, be it a salvation, be it a transformation. Something, when we say the word of God and when we pray the word of God and when we do so in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, he avails that power. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. someone who believes and who has received the word of God. But why do you reckon, why is it that it's such a violent image? You know, why do we talk about war or weapons in this fashion? Because in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, it says, For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. So get all that image out of your head. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, and we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12 and 17 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, and against powers of the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So verse 17, it says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So friends, we do have a weapon. And it's, if you've got a physical one, hold it up. I have a weapon. I have a weapon that can bash strongholds down. God had asked me today to speak about this, to sort of give a spur or to hand out keys to be able to have people become powerful. The Lord is good and his promise is sure for each of our lives, no matter the circumstance we all face and the complexities of our fallen human existence. Only he remains true and consistent and constant. His love towards us is enduring. He has a good plan for your life, Jeremiah 29:11, and for his church. And if we all wait for the conditions to be right to take what is rightfully ours as children of God, then we will never move to the bigger things that he has for us. I was excited when we had the prophetic word about the church expanding, because that's God's plan for this church. It's not for contraction. He doesn't want to reduce us. That's not God's character. He's a God of multiplication. He said, "Go forth and multiply." And that doesn't just apply physically. That applies spiritually. You know, God is always into the multiplication of our gifts and our talents and our ability to reach people for the gospel. Because he does want to see people saved. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," not just the people who are members of Southern Life Church. So we really need to keep our focus broad, because that's the purpose of all of this stuff. We war not with flesh and blood, because in the midst of all of the arguments and the division and the carrying on in the world today, that's not really our enemy. The people who are behind that are not our enemies. The enemies are the forces and the spiritual forces that are behind it. Today, let this be known as the day that the darkness is pushed back. Let hell tremble at the awakening of the saints in this place. What I think we can do more of as a whole in the church in general is to concentrate on living out of the foundation of the Spirit and the Word together, then showing believers and giving them the keys to hold their own. Because whether or not we like it or not, the devil is but like a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you're not equipped or not armed, you are subject to his prey. But we have got the weapons, we have got the word, and we have got the power to stand our ground. Standing on our own two feet, as it were. And I wish that I was able to, or I wish I am more able to convey that to the people whom I love and who I'm cared for, like who I care for. And something I'm wanting to learn to do better at is to give them the keys and to empower them. So not so long ago, I've been listening to Derek Prince. Prince's messages, the late Derek Prince, on proclamation and the importance of the spoken word of God in the believer's life. It got me thinking about a few things that I learned early on in my spirit-filled Christian walk. So when God graciously delivered me out of a very sinful life in my late teens, He took me on a little bit of a journey, but one of the first people who followed up with me in the church where I was at gave me a phrase. He said, whenever you need this, you need to confess this. And he said, what you got to say is, I'm forgiven, I'm a child of God, and I'm going to heaven. And I thought, well, having grown up in the church, I thought, yes, I know that. But then when the times do come, and the enemy attacks your thoughts, because he loves to do that. That's his battlefield. It's all in here. And when he loves to do that, you have to have something to meet it. And so that became something that I used to meet it with, and because he would attack me on that level. You know, oh, you're not really forgiven. You've done too much. And that's compromised your identity as a believer. And I used to go, well, no, I am forgiven. I'm a child of God and I'm going to heaven. So that's a good confession to make. And it is based in Scripture, but it was just an example, okay? Excuse me, I have to blow my nose as well. Excuse me. Sinuses. I am very sorry. So then a little fast forward a few years or a couple of years from that moment, and I'd been watching Joyce Meyer on Foxtel or Ozstar, I think it was called, in Sydney with Dad. And she would often be saying there's power in the word and, you know, all these sorts of things. And from very early on, I remember hanging on to the truths that God showed me in the word. I'd print them off and I'd put them out like what Connie was demonstrating in the prayer. And those sorts of things became the basis of my faith. Things like greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world became bedrock foundations for things that I have to stand in today. So those kind of things are non-negotiable, you know, orders of things in my head. And Southern Life Church, along with every true believer and every true Bible-believing church, are scripture-based, spirit-filled, increasingly unpopular with the progressive Western world, all the more we need to know and stand on the bedrock of the truth of the word. It's, you know, I often reflect in the modern world, we have this term upgrade, okay? Let me talk to you a minute about upgrades, okay? Upgrades are supposed to make things better. If anyone here uses computers or phones that upgrade, you know it's not an upgrade, it's just a change, okay? It's not really an improvement. We all know that. Oh, we've got new digital scales at Woolworths. They're an upgrade. What happened when the power goes out? Dear, oh dear. Even a young lad like me can see that that's just really insane. Just putting it lightly. But, you know, like, there's some things that you just can't improve on. There's some base level stuff, you know, that the human body needs to breathe, okay? You can't upgrade that. And then the world tries to take these things that are from God and put its little upgrade on it. And then it goes on and goes on and goes on. And then before you know it, it's so warped and so past what God intended that it looks nothing like how the original did. And then what happens to those who have stuck with the Lord and who have made their foundation the Lord is that they begin to shine, and in contrast to what the world does with that stuff. That's what I'm trying to paint here. The Word of God seems archaic to the progressive part of the world, but to those who truly believe, it is a fortress, a refuge, a place of safety, a place of certainty, in amongst all of the chaos and the upheaval and the tumultuousness of the world today. And probably the world has always been that way. It's just all relative. And yes, indeed, we are heading towards the days of Christ's return. But let me say to you that God is the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be forever. And he's still reaching out. He's still inviting people to his party. He's still putting out the invites to the wedding, to the streets. And he will still keep doing that right up until the last second. And we need to be ready with a confession of our faith and a message of invitation to the people who God has called before the beginning of time. The enemy will throw everything at trying to devalue and undermine the Word of God, because it's like the link to the, it's like the source. It's like if you drift away from your reality according to the Scripture and the God-breathed Word, you start to lose steadiness, I feel. You get into sort of unbelief and paralysis in some areas, and you get tossed about by different things. And that's not God's will for our lives. The gospel is a gospel of power. Healings, salvation, victory over death, resurrection, power over demonic spirits, just to name a few. From where does this power come? From the Spirit and from the Word of God. The relationship is echoed in creation. In Genesis 1, it mentions the Spirit hovering over the formless void, and then the Lord speaking, God speaking. And so there's this relationship here. Not to mention, let's talk about the power of the tongue. The tongue has the power of life and death. You know, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So, you know, I guess one of my weaknesses is that I've enjoyed safety and comfort under the mothers and fathers in my life. And they have been good mothers and fathers, including my biological ones, who looked after me and fed me according to the Word and according to the Spirit of God. And they were a shelter. And things I noticed that in my life, as the responsibility comes to me, I meet life's challenges more head on and less protected. And I noticed this, but also I noticed that I'm not actually opening my mouth. I'm not doing the things that I'm assuming that my forefathers and my mothers and fathers in the faith that I've always enjoyed the protection of have been doing. And it's come to my attention that I need to be starting to use the Word of God more. Because as life throws its challenges at you, they get more intense, and you need to know where you stand. You need to know your confession. And one of the things that proclamation really stood out to me was that it's a powerful weapon. It is actually the inaction, the execution of the Word of God is for us to speak it. So, you know, I was really encouraged by Connie as well again. She mentioned one of the scriptures who I which I got written down here. Because proclamation is kind of bold. You have to say it with conviction and confidence and believe it fully. And that's one of my takeaways from Derek Prince, is that he spoke on this and he was saying that you really need to have some guts. And the Jewish people call it chutzpah. And you have to really mean what you're saying when you proclaim something. So to say Psalm 118 verse 17, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord, in the face of cancer, in the face of a diagnosis, maybe in the past you've spoken some harsh words over yourself because there's power in the tongue. Our tongues have power, life and death. So if you've ever said, I hate myself or I want to die, or I'm just going to give you the opportunity now. We're all going to say it together, but maybe it would be good if you're facing a diagnosis or you've proclaimed some negative words over your life or you've ever had thoughts of suicide. I feel like this is a word that can be proclaimed, and you watch the power that comes out of saying such words. Ready? I'm just going to say it and then we can all repeat it together. So this is how it reads. It says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And so we'll say it a few times, all right? You ready? This is exciting. Okay. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And again, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Now turn to your person next to you and say it to their face. Eyeball them. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. So there is also scriptures that are very exciting to me that talk about God's power and God's sovereignty and his command to us to go forward and proclaim his victory. And one such scripture, which is very exciting to read, is in Deuteronomy 33. It's very obscure. I've never heard of it before, but I found it and I was excited. Deuteronomy 33... And I'm just reading from the NKJV, New King James Version. Verse 26. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy him. So, because this is in the context of Israel, we can apply it to us, because Israel is a type of God's church. So this morning, if you have an enemy or if something is in your way, the Lord will thrust out the enemy from before you. And then it's your job. So once you've identified what your enemy is, not people, we forgive people. Once you've identified the enemy, then you can destroy him. It's your job. You have the power in the Word of God to demolish strongholds. Again, in 2 Corinthians verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So if there's a stronghold in your life today, or if there's something that's setting itself up against the knowledge of God. So that what that scripture means is that if you know God to be good, there's something in your life that's screaming at you that God's not good. Because why did this happen? Why did that happen? Well, the Word of God can be used as a weapon to demolish that lie. And I feel that a burden of responsibility on both myself and also in the church for us to have those keys, those weapons, and hand them out. Because every one of us faces some challenge in our lives. And I think the last time I preached, I sort of shared all this in the context of faith. But we must not bow to that. Anything that is less than the truth of the Word of God and His promise for you that you received in your heart, then you must not accept it. You must only accept what the Word of God says. I just feel like we need to read that one more time. So from verse 26, if anyone wants to join me in proclaiming this scripture, down to the end of verse 27. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides the heavens to help you, and in His excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy before you and say, destroy. Amen. So you have the power and authority to now go from this place with your knowledge of Scripture, wherever, whatever level that that's at, and I want you to now practice, as I have been in recent weeks, declaring those words that stand up against the things that are pretentious, or the pretense, sorry, that the things that sets it up their self, sorry, the things that set themselves up against the knowledge of God in your life. So I encourage you, you know, because that's the difference, you know, like, and one of the things that Joyce Meyer used to preach about a lot was that we can't trust our feelings. Our feelings are fickle. And what you need to do is start, when you're starting to feel a certain way, the very thing that goes against that is to say the thing, the Word of God. So whenever I find myself discouraged or under attack in my mind, lies and things come up that aren't true, but are looking real because of the circumstances, the very opposite thing is to say the truth. But when you say it, that's when, with the Spirit of God, that's when the power is released and things change. And so if at all anything I have achieved this morning, I pray that you would be open to then opening your mouth. It's amazing. Derek Prince was sharing on his talk how he had a radio ministry, and he shared an example of how he just had scriptures being spoken over the radio, and he's had some people come to the Lord. No teaching, no doctrinal explanations, just the Spirit of God in the Word of God convicting people, changing situations, and really that's all he needs. The word, that's God speaking to people's hearts via the Spirit and the Word. It's like it is a sword. The sword of the Spirit. So I guess there's so many things that I would love to proclaim, but I think I'm pretty good. I think I've delivered what I need to deliver. I just pray that this morning, if you're feeling that there's a burning scripture that you want to declare right now in front of everybody, something for yourself, something for your family, something for the church that you feel that you need to declare, I invite you now. And if you're very brave and bold, you get to do that now. I know that there's at least one. Yes, there is at least one.
Well, this is a repetition totally of what Christopher said, but I did get that as a revelation a little while back, which is, and I say it so many times when I'm doing the Ephesians, where it said, and taking the word, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But I got a revelation. I saw the sword, and that is the word of God. I just saw it in a way that was different. It was like that. Hold up a sword, if you imagine an actual sword, and that represents the word of God. And with it, you fight.
Yes. Amen. So we're going to have some music, we're going to have some songs now, some worship. And I'm going to invite anyone who wants to come forward for prayer. That's fine. We can do that. I'd like you, though, if the second song is like a 19-minute song, so it's not really, you don't have to stay. It's kind of like a soft end. But please feel free to leave. There is tea and coffee. Wayne and Christine have been busy out the back getting ready for you guys. But we just want you to feel loved here today. We want you to remember that Jesus loves you and that this... His love for you is so much that he won't leave you the same. He's going to challenge you. Yes, Gail.